Oh, good morning, everyone. The sermon was taken this morning. It's been taken from John in the 10th chapter, starting in the 7th verse. I might have to back up a little bit just to give you a little intro as to what's going on here, okay? Jesus said, I'm going to read it to you first, and then we'll kind of look at this a little better. Starting in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 7th verse. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in, will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus here is talking not only to his disciples and to the followers that were there with him, but if we go back up into the beginning of the 10th chapter, and if we go even back further into the 9th chapter, the end of the 9th chapter, we could see that there were some scribes and Pharisees there. There were some people that were watching him intently. Okay, they wanted to kind of document everything he was saying because they were looking to see who he was and what was going on. And Jesus in here telling us that he is the door is shutting off any other possibility of other doors. I want you to think about that. God is so simple in how he provides us salvation. If you look at other religions throughout the world, they have all these steps that you have to take. You know, let's use, for example, Islam, okay? There's the five pillars, and I'm not sure I know all of them, but you have to pray a certain time every day, you know, looking in a certain direction. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do something else, and you have to get all these things put into place so that you're right somehow. And yet God has been so wonderful to give us just one door. And that door is Jesus. And he's telling them here, I am the door. I am the gate. If you wish to enter in to be part of the sheepfold, you got to come through me. And how beautiful is that gate? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I am that gate. Oh, that doesn't go anywhere. Good. I need a bigger podium. I need more. Can we get some more room? I need more room up here. I got lots of papers and notes, and now we have this tablet here to keep me on track. I'm going to ask for that, okay? We got to get a bigger thing here. But how beautiful is that gate? I want you to think about that. Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the door, okay? How beautiful it is. Oh, my goodness. When we come to Christ, we see God's love manifested from eternity to eternity in Christ. And he gives us that door. He says, come through this door. Come through this door. This beautiful door. Now, it's not a real wide door, because wide and broad is the road that leads to destruction, right? And the world is following after that. Can you imagine our culture here in the United States today? Just our culture in the United States. They want to get God out of the government, God out of the public square. Us Christians are called stupid, uninformed, hateful, bigoted, narrow-minded. And right here, Christ is saying, you must be narrow. There's only one door. And how lovely is that door? And when we come to that door and we say, can I please come in? The door swings open generously for us. Think how beautiful Christ looks now. When we go back into the book of Revelation, there's a description of one who is sitting on the throne. The throne was standing in heaven. And this is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. One sitting on the throne, he was sitting, was like jasper stone, and Sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow round the throne like an emerald appearance. Christ might have looked like, say, one of us here on earth when he was saying, I am the door. But now he is glorified. He is beautiful beyond all comprehension. I can't even imagine it myself. Just that little thing is saying what he looks like, what the person sitting on that throne in heaven looks like. Glorious. But that door is there. That door into the sheepfold. We find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. You don't have to go there if you want, but you can jot it down. I'm going to read it to you. It says, and Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, that wide and narrow gate. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. There is a gate that Christ is himself. And it is out there for everyone. It's offered to everyone. Except of reptilian type lineage. All right. But for human beings. That door is open. It is there. And we have found that door, haven't we? That's generally why you're here. You come to worship God because you're Christians. You have walked through that door. And in walking through that door, extraordinary things happen to us. I want you to think of what you were like before you were saved. What were you like before you were saved? What were you like before you went through that door that is Christ? Selfish? Self-centered, unhappy, bigoted, open to anything. Before you got saved, you would have probably tried anything. Somebody would have came along and said, hey, I got this really cool drug I want you to take. And you went, sure, let's give it a try. Maybe. I'm not saying of everyone. Alcohol. Promiscuous sex. Unhappy relationships, abusing each other. But once stepping through that door, that wonderful door that is Christ Jesus, our spirits have been made new. You had a dead spirit to God before. Walking through that door, your spirit is now made alive to the things of Christ, to the things of God, to kindness, to love. And yet our whole culture that just walks past that door, doesn't even give that door a thought, says that of us. How many of you have led someone to that door? Don't show hands. I'm not taking count. But I want you to think, okay, as you led someone to that door, you were in effect leading them to eternal life, leading them to salvation, leading them into the sheep herd. Okay? We belong to Christ. He is our shepherd. He is also the door to that sheep fold where they would take the sheep in Palestine. Jesus was giving them this parable about being the good shepherd and being the door also. They would put up a high fence, okay, of stone generally, but it also could be made of wood. And all the sheep from all the shepherds, they would come in out of the fields, okay? And they'd put all the sheep in one place. All the sheep went in there. Depending on how big it was, could be a couple of hundred sheep in there, right? And the shepherd would come to the door and he would say, I would like to get my sheep. And the doorkeeper would open the door and the shepherd would call his sheep. Come here, Bob, Sammy, Schmelly, fuzzy, okay? And his sheep would know his voice, and they would come out through that door. And they would go with the shepherd. He would take them out into the pastures that he had prepared for them. they would know his voice, just as we know the voice of the Lord. I want you to think about that. How many evangelists are out there? And I'm not going to pick on any one name, but I find the TV evangelists the most interesting to watch them. Okay? All right? Some of them are under shepherds. Okay? They're preaching Christ crucified. Others are preaching a gospel that might be a little not quite right. I mean, it has good words in it, you know, and they use Jesus' name, but it seems to be more about money than it is about salvation. Now, I know this is being recorded, and I could be out on the internet sometime, so I'm not saying any names, but you really do know who you are, you TV evangelists and others that are just doing it for the money, to put money in their pocket, okay? Those of us who are truly Christians, who truly follow Christ, know when an under-shepherd is lying to us. We know it. We know it. We read our Bibles. We know the Word. Okay? So the shepherd is always going to tell you the truth, and you instinctively hear that because you are saved. Your soul is in tune with God. And that's why we can listen. Because Jesus says here, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they know my voice. Because Jesus is teaching the truth that he got from his Father in heaven. We know truth when we hear it. Okay? Generally, most of us do. We know the truth when we hear it. He also says, those of us who enter through this gate and become one of the sheep, he shall go out, he shall go in and go out and find pasture. For me, what this explains to me is, having become one of the sheep, my shepherd prepares pastures for me. Okay? Think about it. What pasture, okay, I'm talking of a place that you're dwelling in right now. Where are you at right now in your life? Has Jesus prepared a place for you to work? For you to feed in, okay? To you to play in. I think part of the pasture is, I can use myself as an example. I used to be a line leader, lineman for the electric company, line leader / serviceman. I drove the truck, went out, got up in the bucket, you know, did all the work that had to be done, all right? And I left that job and I became a supervisor. So now I don't do that anymore. Now, when I was in that capacity, the Lord prepared pastures for me. I got to talk to the men that I worked with in the day room, in the line group. But even more so much fun is when I go out on a trouble call, okay, I would be out there with the public, the general public, and I could witness to them carefully, okay? You got to be careful. You're working for the company. They're paying you for your time to be there, and you're supposed to be doing a certain job, but interspersing in that job while I'm putting the electric back on, I was also preaching, and I had a lot of fun with it too. I had some people that were really, really upset. They didn't want to know anything about God, didn't like God, didn't care about God, and I was an idiot for talking about him. Those are the most fun people to talk to because you can get them good and mad and prance them all over the place. You know, get them to the point where they just want to have a meltdown. I'll get them to that point and I'll say, okay, I got to leave. Your electric's on. Bye. Love you. Have fun with your life. Right? But now I've been moved to another position as a supervisor. I have a whole new, so to speak, congregation. I have new guys to work with. And now that I have to make sure that they're out doing what they're supposed to do. But it's a new pasture. I want you to think about, we're going in and out of that place of safety, okay? And when Jesus leads us as his sheep out into a pasture, where are you? What are you doing? Are we loving God, loving others, and going? Because our shepherd is leading us out and watching over us. Now, Jesus talked about the thief. What about thieves? You think we have thieves in our lives? those thieves that want to come out and steal stuff from us. Jesus said in verse 8 in John, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." All who came before me. Wonder who he's talking to. You know, we have the scribes and Pharisees there, his disciples are there, and some of the people that were kind of following while and listening to him. I think he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "All who came before me are robbers and thieves." Why? Because they weren't taking care of the sheep. They were abusing the sheep. They were using the sheep. They were making money off the sheep. And Jesus wanted to put a stop to it. He also wanted to explain to them that he was the Messiah. He was the door. And then verse 11, he said, "I'm the good shepherd." So he serves two functions. He's also the door to the sheepfold and the shepherd. But he's talking about the thieves and robbers. They came in and they abused the sheep. Much like we have today with certain individuals. Certain televangelists, so to speak, or certain people that are just in it for the money. We're not in it for the money here. I think Rick's not here. He'd have a heart attack when I say this. It's not about money. It's not about the tithes and offerings. It's about you. It's about your standing with God. It's about how we can shepherd you as a congregation. Because we are all under shepherds. I'm an under-shepherd. Pastor Rich is an under-shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. And we follow Christ. We listen to him. We love him. And we do what he asks us and tells us to do. Trust and obey. That song that we sang earlier. There's no better way. There's no other way but to trust and obey our shepherd, our door. As most of you know, my father passed away about 2 weeks ago. And I want to tell you, for a person trying to, me as a Christian, not even as a student minister, but just me as a Christian, okay, trying to talk to him and to get him to understand that Christ is the door to salvation, to eternal life, was the most difficult things I did in my life, because me and my father never had a real good rapport together. You know what I mean? He didn't want to hear what I had to say. I'm the father. You do as I tell you to do, not as I do. And I loved him. He was a tough father, a hard father. All right? But I knew he needed that door. I needed to get his hand on the handle to that door, so that he could open it and walk through. Well, praise the Lord, my prayers were answered. And after many years of trying to get to that point where I could talk to him, I finally got to the point where I got to talk to him. Okay? And what happened was, a couple of months ago, I'd say about 6 months ago, he had pneumonia. Right? And my dad didn't like to go to the doctor, and he was very difficult, and he didn't want to... Well, he didn't want to take his medicine. He didn't want to do what he was told. You know, kind of like some of us, you know, hard to deal with. So I went to visit him in the hospital, and he was sitting in the chair side of the bed, and right behind him was a window. And I took my Bible, and Amy, my wife, was with me. And my dad was sitting in the chair, and he's watching TV. I mean, what are you going to learn from TV? But that's what he was watching, okay? So I took my Bible with, and I knew he didn't want to really talk. That's just the way my father was. So I played a game with him. I thought, okay, here's what we're going to do. I took my Bible, and I just reached right across past him, put my Bible on the windowsill, and I sat down on the edge of the bed, and we talked. And we talked, and we had a nice talk, and Amy's talking to him, and he's looking at the TV and talking to us and stuff. And after about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes or so, I could see he was starting to get tired. I said, would you like me and Amy to go? You look a little tired. Yeah, I'm starting to get a little tired. So I slowly reached across in front of him, got my Bible again, and pulled it over and sat down the bed and was getting ready to go. And my dad said, do you want to talk to me about something? And I went, aha, the door. Oh, yeah. It's cracking just a little bit. You can see that little sliver of light. Yes, I would like to talk to you about what's in here. And he didn't want to talk there because I think he was a little, you know, men of that age group, my father, he was 81 years old when he passed away, but they felt funny about talking about religion, you know? So I don't think he wanted to talk in front of Amy. So he said, come see me when I get home from the hospital. I went, all right, man, there's an appointment. I'm going to pencil right in there, and I'm not going to miss it because the door opened a little further. Amen. So what happens? He gets home from the hospital, and I go and visit him. Dad, were you serious about me coming talking to you? And I had my Bible with me again about me talking to you. Yes, yes, let's go out and sit in the back porch. So we go out and sit in the back porch. And I didn't even have to open my Bible. My dad said, what do you want me to do? I said, it's quite simple. I said, it's the simplest thing you could ever do, my father. Simplest thing. Call upon Jesus to save you. And that's what he did. He bowed his head. He said, Jesus, save me. And I went, done deal. Man walked right through the door. His whole life, he fought it, tooth and nail. And then 6 months later, he passes away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have that door. Jesus said, I am the door. And all you can do is lead someone to that door. All right? But they have to walk through. There is a door that is so beautiful. I can't imagine how beautiful that door is. But it's full of love, it's full of acceptance, it's full of healing, it's full of nurturing. It's so full of possibilities that once you step through that door, God will take you and go, oh man, this is so great. I'm going to put you over there. I'm going to take you and put you over there. I'm going to take you and put you over there and give you the possibility of showing other people the door. I have a poem I'd like to read to you. It was written by Samuel Moore Shoemaker, a pastor, a theologian. To me, this poem speaks to the heart of a pastor. Okay, it should speak to the heart of all of us, and I want you to listen to it. I'm gonna recite it very slowly so the words can kind of sink in. First time I read this, I cried my eyes out. I couldn't help it. I read the poem and I just cried my eyes out. And it's called I Stand by the Door by Samuel Moore Shoemaker, the Reverend Samuel Moore. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men walk when they find God. There is no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside, and they as much as I crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, and yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing any man can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the man's own touch. Men die outside the door as starving beggars die on cold nights, in cruel cities in the dead of winter, die for want of what is within their grasp. They live on the other side of it, live because they have not found it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find Him. So I stand by the door. Go in, great saints. Go all the way. Go all the way in. Go way down into the cavernous cellars, way up into the spacious attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. Go into the deepest of hidden casements of withdrawal, of silence, of sainthood. Some must inhabit those inner rooms and know the depths and the heights of God and call outside to the rest of us how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look in, sometimes venture in a little further. But my place seems to be closer to the opening, so I stand by the door. There is another reason why I stand there. Some people get partway in and become afraid lest the God and the zeal of His house devour them, for God is so very great and asks all of us. And these people feel a cosmic claustrophobia and want to get out. "Let me out," they cry. And the people way inside only terrify them more. Somebody must be by the door to tell them that they are spoiled of the old life. They have seen too much. Once taste God and nothing but God will do any more. Somebody must be watching for the frightened who seek to sneak out just where they came in, to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far in do not see how near these are to leaving, preoccupied with the wonder of it all. Somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away. So for them too, I stand by the door. I admire the people who go way in, but I wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet found the door. Or the people who want to run away again from God. You can go in too deeply and stay too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place, near enough to God to hear Him and to know He is there, but not so far from men as not to hear them. And remember, they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hand I am intended to put on the latch. So I will stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Excuse me. I can't help it. Because I think of all those people that were like my father, who lived their whole lives. And it was only in the last couple months that I was able to show him where that door was. And he made it into heaven. And I praise God for that, because I will see him again. And the last time I saw him, I got down, took my glasses off, and put my face up to his, and I looked into his eyes. And I told him I loved him, and I would see him again. That door that we're talking about this morning is the most important door there is. It is why we are here. It is why we have a church. It is why we give money. It is why we pay for our pastor to preach to us. It is why we have a student minister. It is why we have elders and deacons, and why you are all here. That door is the most important thing there is. And to lead somebody to that door, you can't push them through it, but you can put their hand on that latch so that once they turn that latch and they step through that door, everything's going to be okay for them. I can't help it. I don't want to go all the way in. I want to stand by that door. I want all of you to stand by that door in your lives. For the people that you see and you touch every single day. For your family members who aren't saved. Keep telling them about the door. Keep looking for the door on their lives that open just a little bit and give them just a little bit where you can insert yourself and say, I know of a door. And the door is beautiful. And the door is powerful. And the door is welcoming. And the door is full of love. And this door leads you to God the Father in heaven. That is why we are here, people. That is why I'm up here doing what I'm doing. That's why I do what I do out in my life. Everything means nothing. You have jobs. I know you got to make money. You got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your mortgage. You got to buy groceries. You got to buy all the stuff that goes with it. Paper towels, toilet paper, shampoo. But what is the most important thing in your life? But to stand by that door that is Jesus Christ and say, you can enter in to the sheepfold. You can be one of his for all eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand by that door until the day that Jesus calls me home and says, come through the door one last time. I'm taking you off this planet. You've done what I want you to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is where we are at. Excuse me. I would like to pray over you at the end of my sermon. And this is the end. I'm going to land this plane right now. Father in heaven, I pray for each person here. Each soul here. I pray that they are truly saved. That they truly understand that their whole function as a Christian is to lead someone to that door who is Jesus Christ. There is nothing else in their lives that matters. Nothing else in their lives that takes them into eternity except leading someone to that door. So, Father, I ask, bless them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the spiritual awareness to know when someone else's door is starting to open and that they can step in and say, there is a door that I want to show you. So, Father, I ask that you bless them. In Jesus, who is our door. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.